We again greet you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I thought I would speak this morning on sin, our view of sin, or the effects of an unbalanced view of sin. What we believe affects our behavior. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. How do we view sin? How does God view sin? Here, some time ago, Chester Weaver was here and spoke of the consequences of having a wrong view of God. There are serious consequences when we do not have a proper view of God. And I believe there are also serious consequences when we have a wrong view of sin. Sin is not something that I enjoy speaking about, but it is something that we have much to contend with as we live in these physical bodies, these fleshly bodies, these carnal bodies. It seems like the Corinthian church had much to do with that, and Paul gave them much direction. I have to wonder how it was in the Garden of Eden before sin, when the spirit and the flesh were one. No contention there. And after sin, there's a continual battle between the flesh and the spirit. When the child becomes born again, you become a child of God. Paul said the things that he would do, he doesn't, and the things that he shouldn't do, he finds himself doing. I would like to start out with looking at what the Bible has to say about sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Sin is something that is all around us. I would like to look at some other scriptures. I've got one of these chain reference Bibles looking at the helps, 33:38, a few of those. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. Scorner. That's found in Proverbs 24:9. 1 John 3:4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. I would also like to look at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. These are things that the Lord hates. And when we, it seems like sin has more to do with what's in a person's heart than objects or things. I was in conversation with a brother when I was younger. We used to be a part of a church where, and I'm just giving this as an example, we were part of a church where cameras were not allowed. And cameras, having your photo taken, was looked at as a sin by some people. And later, cameras were allowed. Some of our people moved out. There was one brother in particular who really struggled. He is now a part of a church where they have cameras, and I think he's come across that. But he was taught that having pictures is sin. And it was a real hard obstacle. And when we teach our children, the things that we teach our children will go probably with them for a lifetime. And we as parents especially, it's very important that we have a balanced view of sin. There are consequences when we are not stable in our views. The things that we teach our children impact them. And probably most of us older folks in here, we remember the things that we have been taught by our parents. And possibly some of the things that we have been taught were wrong, we allow for ourselves. You know, I know that when I look at myself, I don't have it all together. And probably my parents didn't either. And their parents probably didn't either. So it is so important that we come back to the Word of God. Let's not just depend on, you know, our parents have tried their best in what they have taught us. But it's important that we stick with the Word of God and that we check up on ourselves. The things that we have been taught, is it really sound? Let's go to Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. It says here, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The things that are mentioned here are works of the flesh. And it seems to me that these things that people can be involved in are merely outworkings of what's in a person's heart. And we might look at this list of things and think that, you know, I'm not really guilty of any of that. I would like to look at another aspect of sin, found in James chapter 4, verse 17. It says here, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And this is what we call sins of omission. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. How many of us have ever been in a situation or have never been in a situation where we had opportunity to do good and we didn't do it? I would like to read an account in Luke chapter 16. This account has to do with the rich man and Lazarus. And what was this man's sin that he ended up in hell? Jesus here was communicating with the scribes and Pharisees, I think, telling them quite a few different things. And then he goes to say here in verse 19, he says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. What is the reason that this rich man ended up in hell? We don't really read any big sins or any big wrongs that he did. But was it the sin of omission? Here, Lazarus was a man that had many needs, laid at his gate every day, and he just did not do what he could to help this man. How many times have we been in that situation where we would have had opportunity to help people, but we neglected? I do not want to give the impression that our performance will get us there, because it will not. But when you become a child of God, it should be second nature to us to be helpful, to help each other along the way. When you think of sin and you think of evil, I think it could be anything that contradicts the nature of God. The nature of God is to be loving. So to be unloving is sinful. The nature of God is to have the fruits of righteousness, to show mercy, to be truthful. Those are just some of the things that are the nature of God. And when we are the opposite of that, I think that is sinful and evil. We should exemplify the fruits of the Spirit, the nature of God, as his children. See, Jesus told, was it the Pharisees, that they lie and do not the truth? They are take after their father, the devil, the father of lies. When we are involved in the works of the flesh, sins of omission, whatever it may be, it's like in agreement with Satan, in agreement with the satanic nature. The things that we teach and exhort. Here just lately we had in our Sunday school lesson in Corinthians about other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And after that it talks about what we build with. Some with wood, hay, and stubble. Some with gold, silver, and precious stones. When our views are not based on Scripture, we stand to create strife, instability, and unsettledness in our homes. Give an example. Back when I was young, we were involved quite a bit with sometimes going out on work crews, working for Mennonite Disaster Service, MDS. And I was told that on one of these work projects, there was a young man, not of our community, but he used to live here, that I think they were working in a garage where, I'm not sure, was it flooding or storm damage, but they were needing to take everything out. And in there, coming out, he found a radio on a shelf. And he got this radio out, grabbed a sledgehammer, and said he was going to drive the devil out of this thing. And gave it a royal beating with a sledgehammer. Was that a proper view of sin? Proper view of evil? That was just a dead object. There was another older gentleman, an older brother in our community. Back in the day when we were young, we were part of a church where tapes were not allowed. And I don't know, was he driving in his own car or in someone else's car? Kind of think he was driving in someone else's car. And a tape was playing. I don't know if he started it, but he listened to it a little bit. And then he happened to think that, you know, this tape player is just a dead thing. There's no way that thing can bring honor and glory to God, so he just shut it off. Was that a proper view? You know, his view was partially right. Yeah, the tape player could not bring honor and glory to God. But what about the people who had sung a song and put that together on a tape for the edification of people that listened to it? You know, I enjoy driving down the road and listening to good message on gospel singing. I also enjoy driving down the road and listen to a gospel message that might be preached. And it allows my mind to go into worship mode as I allow that, those words to sink in, especially if they're based on the Word of God. But yeah, the tape player itself is a dead thing. and was not it was not made to worship God. But those songs were put on there to edify us. And we can be edified if we allow those things to, but if we look at that as sin, we probably lose that blessing. I'm just challenged. May our view of sin be accurate. May it be based on the Word of God. When we take strong stands on things that don't really matter, those things tend to create strife in our homes. It can produce what we look at as rebellion in our children. I would like to go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now I'd like to drop down to verse 20. Excuse me. Drop down to verse 10 through 20 as a continuation to these first two verses. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. You see, the works of the flesh are outworkings of what's in the heart. So important that our views are established and built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is so foundational. If we look at the calendar that we have, if you look in your Bible, in the side column of my Bible, it gives B.C. If you go into the Old Testament, you go all the way back, it gives so many years B.C. before Christ. And the years come on down till Christ's time. And then after Christ's time, they go further and further up. A.D. And it's all on him. His coming was so foundational that the calendars that we have today go by when he came, God's Son. God worked that out. And so it's so important that we build our lives on Him. How we view God and how we view sin, how we view the church, how we view the bride of Christ, it all affects how we relate with each other and with those around us. When we allow tradition or personal opinions to supersede what God says in His Word, we are building our house on the sand. I'd like to read Matthew 7, verse 21 through 27 here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. When we establish foundational teachings in our homes, and they are not established on the Word of God, we are like a man building his house, building his life, on something that can very easily change with the winds of time, like building our house on the sand. And I am just so blessed with the fact that the teachings that Jesus Christ gave when He was here, and His holy apostles, as they allowed the Spirit of God to dwell within them, the teachings that they have established have withstood the test of time for years and years. They're never outdated. And when I look at the journey that I have made in my short life, some of the standards that we have put together for our time, and sometimes it's needful to have them changed. But the standards that we erect that are based on the Word of God, those are stable. Those are unchanging. And they always apply for every age and every generation. I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 40. Excuse me. Matthew 25, verse 41 to 46. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall say they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I'm just made to think again, sins of omission. The things that they didn't do is what they were held for here. Now I would like to go to Matthew 25, verse 31 to 40. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Who are the least of these that he's referring to here? It seems like the unrighteous people here knew about all the good deeds that they had done, and they put a lot of stock in it. And probably it was deeds that were very noticeable. The least of these, I think, is when you have opportunity to even give a cup of cold water to a little child, something that no one ever notices, is so noticed by God himself. And when you do those little things for each other, it is second nature to you. If you are a child of God. Again, I would like to say that for us to get there, to heaven, is dependent on us being born again, being a child of God. And when we have his spirit within us, we will take on his nature. And we will exemplify the fruits of the spirit that the Bible talks about. And then we can hear those words, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And it's not based on our performance. Our performance is an outworking of what's in our heart. With these thoughts, let's kneel for a word of prayer.